everyone. Welcome to episode number 109 of the NLSC podcast. We're recording on Sunday night again. We enjoyed it so much last week. We're going to do it again this week. I'm Andrew, as with you as always. We're here with you as always, I should say. I'm joined by, as always, Ben Arcane.
Hello, everyone.
And we are just a week away from the All-Star Weekend 2015, Ben.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a fun weekend.
And we do have a few other things to talk about with the basketball video games as well, NBA Live and NBA 2K, so we will get right into that. Not a lot of news at this time of the year, so the news segment at the top of the show is going to be pretty sparse, but a couple of news and notes to mention nevertheless. First of all, just want to mention once again for anyone who hasn't seen it, we've launched our NBA Live 16 wishlist thread in the forum. It's in the NBA Live 15 section for now. It'll be archived in the Live 16 section later this year when we create that section, and invite you to post your constructive feedback on next year's game, or rather this year's game, the next game in the series. 10 to 15 points, 20 maximum. You don't need to post that many, but that's kind of if you are going to post a lot of feedback. Keep it to a list of 10 to 15 of the most important points. 20 if you really have a few extra things to say. Post that, and as we said, be constructive. Don't need to sugarcoat things or kiss ass, as the case may be. But certainly, don't be snarky and abusive. You know, this is for people who are genuinely interested in providing feedback that the developers can put to good use. So just head over to the Live 16 section of the forum, and Live 15 section rather, and look for the sticky thread NBA Live 16 wish list. And I'll be posting my list in there at the moment. Just wanted to let some of our community members post some things first. And Ben, I'm sure both of us have some pretty good ideas of what we want to see in this year's game.
Oh, yeah. I've got to start writing them down. Like, I've got them pretty much in my head. It's just...
Well, you've got those lists of 2,000 points, so you're going to have
2,000 pages or something. Yeah.
So you're going to have to cut it down to perhaps the most important things you want to see. Only one item about shoes, Ben. Yeah. Only one item about shoes.
Well, I could do the I'm Mr. Snub. Well, you have different personalities. And...
The sock puppet in the forum. Yeah.
Set up.
I like the way Arcane thinks. Yeah.
Set up 20 different personalities and just get a couple of each one. So yeah, I think that's just personas and stuff like that. So yeah, I think that's gonna be the way I'm gonna do it.
Not like I can see the IP address or anything, you know. So
damn it, always one step ahead.
Or that you just like blurted it out right here to be on the podcast. But yes, you know, I've obviously want to see a lot of stuff with Dynasty get better and a few adjustments to gameplay. Of course, I want to see the. These are just some of the highlights of my list that I need to type up again this year. And, of course, the customization features, the sliders, create a player, roster editing functionality, and roster sharing functionality so that we can at least, even if we can't, dump them to the USB drive and upload them to a download section on our site, we can at least instruct people to go to the EA Locker or whatever they want to call it, EA Share, or sort of, that's 2K Share, so it won't be EA Share, but basically the same equivalent, what they've done before with the EA Locker, just to share those custom rosters. So hopefully that will make the game, and they have their own roadmap, as do 2K, so you know, just anyone who gets disappointed that posts something and doesn't get in the game, well, you know, it doesn't guarantee it, but it never hurts to express our opinion and give constructive feedback, and if nothing else, it lets them know that, yes, these ideas that they have in mind are also what we want, so yes, they're on the right track, so... There's if you're interested, passionate about the games, and interested in the future of NBA Live, by all means, start posting that constructive feedback. And we also will be doing the 2K16 one as well. In fact, by the time this goes up, by the time you're listening to this, so I might have even created it, the official 2K16 wish list, our official 2K16 wish list, at any rate, in the 2K15 section of the forum. So look out for that, and post your feedback for both games, because I'm. You know, we care about these games. We spend money on them every year and spend a lot of time talking about them, playing them. So we might as well enjoy them and tell the people making them what we want to see. So, you know, you don't lose anything by talking about what you want to see. You know, whereas if you say nothing, well, they can't read your mind. So, you know, I always encourage people, if you've nothing to lose, you know, if you're passionate about these games, you're going to come to a basketball video game website and talk about them. Then certainly you can throw out a few ideas of things you want to see and bugs and anything that's will benefit the game and you want to see added or improved. Let the developers know. They are keeping tabs on the forum, both from EA and 2K. So contribute to both threads when both are up. And Anything else to add to that, Ben? I know you've you've got lots of experience giving feedback to developers over the years.
Yep. Okay. Best thing I found is obviously, depending on the context of the idea, if it's something simple like fix certain uniforms or fix this, something that can be explained in like a couple of words. But if it's something that is an idea that's like a game mode or gameplay idea, elaborate in what areas that were concerning you, in how it could be improved. Like, take for instance with live, maybe it's the blending of the animation to the momentum of the animation and how you'd like to see something like that improved. Or if it's 2K, maybe a story element that you'd like to see in the My Career aspect and all that stuff. So
specifics rather than just saying, oh, it sucks, make it better.
Yeah, exactly. And without being too vague, it's like, oh, fix this, that's it. And it's like, how, what ways would you
what is the problem? What is your complaint?
Yes. So,
it's kind of like going to Subway, not paying us, so that's not a cheap plug, and saying, make me a tasty sandwich. I mean,
yeah.
tell me what you want on your sub, please.
And if there's any dietary concerns.
Exactly, that's for you to say.
So yeah, elaborate, but no need for absolutely
1,000 word essays and
keep it simple, precise,
be concise, yeah, absolutely.
But enough detail for developers to go, okay, I can see what the concern is or what the idea is and how it could be implemented. So something like that, and if somehow, say you have like three ideas, and in a sense they can all be tied into like a great effect where those three things can roll into the one concept and all that stuff. Like, can't think of an idea off the top of my head where I've used before, but I've known with conference calls and stuff like that that I've attended with EA that when doing so, it really got the community manager's attention, and that saying, look,
well presentation counts for something.
Yeah,
and putting the idea forward. That and that's why we say don't be abusive or snarky, because the more crap, basically, the developers have to wade through. And I can say this, getting feedback on roster updates I've made through the years or something to do with the site or the way it's running, the more insults and nonsense you've got to dig through to actually get to the point of the matter, you kind of tune out and you might miss an important detail because you've got to scan through all the abuse to actually get to the constructive part. So it's not about protecting them or any kind of sugarcoating it or kissing up or anything. It's basically sound like an adult, basically, is what we're saying. We know these games. We pride ourselves on being knowledgeable about basketball and basketball video games. So show that knowledge, and you show that knowledge by presenting it and sounding smart, being smart, not being a jerk.
Well, sounding like an immature 12-year-old.
Like a tantrum throwing a toddler, exactly.
The example that I could probably give is saying, like, if achieving this, this, and this will have this outcome, and by it's not the exact way I was trying to reword it, just worded a moment ago, but so, saying, like, with doing this method and how it ties into this, 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 you'll achieve this outcome, something along the lines of that, in terms of explaining how your idea or your concept could work and become feasible in that, and go, okay, this
a solid proposal, basically.
Yeah, this works in this way, and by doing so, we can resolve this issue or include this element into the gameplay or into a story mode or a game mode and stuff like that. So that benefits everyone in the end.
Yeah, that's why we do it, to benefit the game and get a better product for ourselves.
Yeah, basically, it's best way to describe it as full circle effect. Once the picture's been painted and they can see how it all works, it opens up the idea for conversation with others, like in the community that might read it as well if you submit it publicly to community, or talk the ideas that you have with friends and sort of go, get a feasibility if that interests others as well. So, like, I've talked to people with the ideas and sort of show them it's sort of a good way to gauge interest and see if it works or not, and whether with our interests and stuff, so we'll go, yes, okay.
And that's obviously discussions we can have in the forum within our community,
exactly,
and combined to ideas.
Exactly. And you'll be surprised, again, relating to the conference calls, how much conversation and how many ideas are sparked from that within the community calls that we've had in that over the years. And, you know, and that's one thing that I have missed over the last probably 2-3 years with EA. You know,
getting the conference calls. Yeah. Although they are doing more on social media, which is the new focus now.
But
canvassing the wider fan base.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, it was just one small thing that just hasn't happened as much. But it was what ideas and what other concepts and stuff that drew when in the engagement. You know, it was one small thing sparked something with another person. It was like, oh yeah, now if we do this and this, you know,
and it was you get a good discussion going. Yeah,
it was good.
Yeah.
Conversation
stuff. Absolutely. One final thing I'll throw out there is, again, be constructive, be honest, be open. Whatever ideas you have, throw them out there. Whatever you feel would improve the game, don't be shy, don't hold back. If you can't make that list of 10 to 15, that's okay. That's more of a idea of a maximum if you want to prioritize your ideas. 10 to 15, no more than 20. If you've only got 5 or 6, 2 or 3, that's fine. Any feedback is good feedback, or any quality feedback is good feedback. And as I said, presentation counts. We once had somebody post their ideas, and of course they also had sprinkled insults throughout them as well, so that never helped. But had about 12 paragraphs worth in one continuous paragraph, and every word was capitalized, and that was just really hard to read. And we tried to explain to this person, your post is like really hard to read. It hurts our eyes trying to decipher what you've said. You know, if you want to make it clear, so don't be using...
Or if there's no paragraphs and stuff, or, you know, it's just continuous flow of words, and especially in capitals where it can sort of really throw your eyes off.
Make your post legible, basically, you know, and avoid too much slang or shorthand, in that shorthand that basically dilutes whatever point you're saying because it's gibberish, basically, when it becomes gibberish. So make it clear, make it constructive, and by all means, take it to the forum. The NBA Live 16 wishlist thread is up now. The NBA 2K16 wishlist will be up shortly. Probably by the time that you're listening to this, it will be there, so go and check it out. Moving on to the content updates that have come through this week. NBA Live 15 Ultimate Team, the legends this week are Alonzo Mourning, one of my favorite non-Bulls, and I'm guessing as a shot blocker, Ben, you also appreciate his career?
Oh, yeah. He is my idol in terms of being a shot blocker.
And it was great when he won the title in 2006 with the Heat. That was...
Yeah, and you know, the situation with his kidney disease problem and stuff like that, and how he was able to come back and...
Inspirational, absolutely.
Yeah, so you know, he's one of those players that I've loved growing up. Even when he was back in Charlotte, and then when he joined the Heat, it was just, yeah...
Indeed, an original Hornet.
Yes.
Well, actually, not an original Hornet. He was a few years into the Hornets, a member of the Hornets in their original run, should I say.
Yeah. That's what I figured you meant. Yeah. That's why I went, yep.
Yep. David Thompson, speaking of idols, he was one of Michael Jordan's inspirations. Played for the Denver Nuggets and Seattle Supersonics, of course. Scored 73 points against the Pistons in 1978. And in a scoring battle with the other legend that's being added this weekend, George Gervin, the Iceman, played for the Spurs and, of course, actually ended his career with the Bulls in Michael Jordan's second season in 1986. Of course, he was also a great scorer there. And so those are the three legends that are in Ultimate Team this weekend. They're also available in a fantasy challenge, which is available until February 11th. You can take on a team that has the three of them on there for a 15,000 coin pack. On the 2K15 side of things, we have 5 new uniforms. Look at all those sleeves, Ben. Look at all those sleeves.
it's painful for the eyes.
We don't like sleeve jerseys. If you listen to podcasts in the past, you'll know that already. We don't need to go into that again because we've ripped on them enough, probably. And our comments are pretty much going to be the same this time around. But nevertheless, of course, they are in the league this year. They have been introduced or will be worn shortly. So naturally, they are in the game as well in 2K15. So that's good to see. And more along your speed, Ben, the shoes, Black History Month shoes have also been added to 2K15. And I saw that you either retweeted or reposted on Facebook some of those shoes, the screenshots.
Yeah, you know, trying to keep up with both games news and all that stuff and trying to let the community know of them.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's it's good to see some content update stuff and all that coming out.
For both games, I mean, the stuff we perhaps want to see with patches and such, but it is nice to see them continue to do these, these updates, especially live is console only, so we can't patch that at all, and we're still figuring out how to patch it. So it is nice to actually get official updates of new shoes and whatnot into the game. And so you can get those that will come through automatically, of course, as long as your console or PC is connected to the internet. And when you fire up the game, those updates will come through, including new rosters, of course. I haven't actually checked the live 15 rosters this weekend. As we mentioned last week, Fernando is moving on, and we wish him well. So I'm guessing someone else will be taking over the rosters at EA, and keep posting the feedback in the forums, in the sticky thread, Live 15 section, of course. But there hasn't actually been a news article this week on the rosters, as far as I'm aware, and I haven't actually looked in the past 24 hours or so, so I haven't compiled my own observations of the rosters. But nevertheless, roster updates will be coming through, I imagine, through the end of the season, as before, including the Ultimate Team content and the big moments. I'm guessing, I haven't checked, but that three-pointer by the brow, Anthony Davis, I'm guessing that's going to be a big moment.
Oh, yeah. I expect that probably within the next few days that'll be up. That was a nice shot, though. I got to see that. So, yeah.
My only problem with those, when a big man hits a three like that, because they don't really adjust the ratings for that big moment, so you've got to make that three with a crappy three-point rating. So it's a bit more challenging, as I suppose as it should be, but it's kind of like, well, you're trying to replay the moment with something that happened really rare with those terrible ratings, and you want to do it first go or second go. Yeah. I was actually, what was the one I was trying to do a little while ago? Evan Turner hitting the game-winning three in for the Celtics against the, was it the Blazers?
I'm not sure.
Yes, it was, because I was going up against Wesley Matthews, so it would have been the Blazers. And he's only got a three-point rating of 74, so it was, I lost count of how many attempts I had at that one, because the shooting has been tweaked a bit in one of the most recent patches for Live 15, so it's kind of difficult, actually. They probably overtuned it. Again, this is why we need sliders. So I actually hit it, but this year with it was also a hotspot challenge. I didn't, and I thought, oh well, you know, I get extra points for the hotspot, but I can hit it from somewhere else and be fine. No, it wasn't. You actually do have to hit it from the hotspot, or it doesn't count. So okay, so then it was like another 15, 20 attempts, and I finally hit it, and like, yes, please register, please don't glitch or bug out of me. Yes, thank you. That is done. I'm never playing that big moment again. That's my score. I don't care. So, I'm not, you know, I've already got the trophy for beating a friend's score. So that's fine. I'm happy with that.
In the words of, previous game release, onto the next one.
Onto the next one. That's right. I suppose it's part of the challenge that they don't change the ratings, but at the same time, when you have to hit a three-pointer with a big man who doesn't normally hit threes, a little boost might be, if it's at all feasible, might be in order, just to make it a little bit more doable. Nevertheless, it is what it is. But those content's going to keep coming through. The roster updates for 2K15 are coming through daily, and obviously getting those content updates as well with the shoes and the uniforms. Both games doing stuff like that. So yeah, it's great to see. Something from the community, Ben. I just sent you through a link a little while ago. TG So Good, one of our prominent modders and posters in the forum, has been making up some, I posted this on the main page, some trading cards using images from the Ultimate Base roster for NBA 2K14 PC, and making some really nice looking trading cards, if you've had a chance to glance at that thread.
Let's just check.
While you're looking at that, I'll just mention that so far we have a 1992 Scottie Pippen All-Star card, complete, of course, with the All-Star jersey from that year. Sophomore Kyle Korver card. It's a bit of say that three times fast. 2013 Stephen Curry card. 2015 Lance Stevenson card. 2013 NBA Finals LeBron James card. And 2005, which would be a rookie, Josh Smith card. And he's done a really good job of replicating those old trading cards that I spent so much money on back in the day. And using some shots from the Ultimate Base roster. Fantastic update, of course. So yeah, I had to post it on the main page because it's really impressive the work he's done with those cards. I feel look
really sorry, cool. just saw the link now. So my apologies for that. Checking it out now.
Should be starting with the 92 Scottie Pippen All Star.
I see Pippen. vaguely. Just gonna check the proper thread. Oh, what you game? Yeah, okay, sorry. just trying to find the thread in the forum for it.
The link's in the main page.
Oh, okay. Don't think it linked properly.
Oh, well, I'll just copy through. Well, this is clearly I need to make the links more clear when I tweak the design next time. But yeah, so that link should take you straight through to the
picnic. Yep, that's taken straight through. Okay, that's good.
Yeah. And of course, in the news post, I once again linked to the Ultimate Base roster, which is now at version 27, if I'm recall correctly. Just while you're looking at that, Ben, yes, version 27, latest version, major updates in latest version of Ultimate Base roster include the All-Star teams, the Shooting Stars and Dunkers All-Star teams, Rising Stars, US and World. Add some more art updates. And the rosters, latest rosters are accurate as of February 1st, 2015. And once again, that link is in the forum. You can also find that in the 2K14 rosters section of the NLSC downloads database.
Okay, so just a quick question. With the trading cards, are they an in-game sort of template thing?
No, that's something that he's made.
Okay, I might be tempted to make something like that.
I think
that might be the way I sort of get into modding for 2K, something along the lines of that sort of looks.
Making some cards, yeah.
You know, sort of just to dip the toes and then get familiar with some things and that. So, yeah, if that person can get a hold of me and, like, message me, definitely be willing to talk to them and sort of see how they went about doing some things. And
paging TG, yeah. So good. If you're listening, I know you do listen sometimes, because unfortunately we've said your name wrong before. We've said TS so good a couple of times. It is TG so good. We apologize again for that mix up.
So yeah, I think that's
this is why we write things down. These days, Ben. these are the amazing things you learn through over 100 podcasts, yeah. To actually write details down so that you can remember them when you're talking about them. It's a revolutionary concept, I know. But that is on the main page and in the PC screenshots sticky thread in the 2K14 section of the forum, the 2K14 PC screenshots. Check them out. And yeah, if anyone does make cool stuff like that, trading cards, obviously we're a modding community as well, so we want you to use our upload facilities for whatever game you're modding, updating, patching, whatever. Certainly use our facilities, but also feel free to share video mixes, trading cards, cool screenshots, videos, whatever you've got. You know, we're about basketball video games, so we do want people to get involved in the discussion and share cool things, you know, because fun things do happen when we play these games. Hopefully we're having fun with them anyway, so if you're having fun with them and have something cool to share like that, yeah, by all means share it. We want you to get involved in the discussion. Speaking of which, also considering going to guest comments on the articles on the main page, Ben. Only registered users in the forum, but thinking of going to guest comments or possibly even the Discus comment system. Might be polling our visitors about that shortly, just to see what they think. Want to encourage more discussion on the articles, and if that makes it easier for people to comment, not being either commenting as a guest or being able to use Facebook or Twitter as their on the Discus login. You know, so we'll be asking people about that and their opinions. And if you have any opinions, just shoot me an email, or post in the forum, or in the comments section on this podcast, and let me know what you think of that. We do want to make the site as accessible and fun as possible for everyone. So let us know.
Essentially, I always called it Discuss. Hearing you sort of call it Discuss, it was like, okay, that's.
Well, we could be looking at a potato situation.
I mean, that's very true. It's just I mean, I've never said the word out loud until then, but in my head, I've always said it as Discuss.
It's probably supposed to be Discuss. I mean, I'm probably mixing up with the old Discuss forum software we used to use before we went to PHP bulletin board, PHP BB. So that could be on me there. But in any event, Discuss. Everyone's probably aware of a lot of sites using it these days, considering implementing it on ours as well. So let us know whether you like that system or if you just like to use the default comment system, because we're running WordPress for anyone who is wondering. It already has its own inbuilt system, of course, in the CMS and the news posting. So either way, you know, we might turn on the guest comments instead, especially since I found a plugin that stops people from impersonating registered users. So if anyone wants to impersonate me, oh yes, new roster's coming. No, it's not. That's not me. Stop promising stuff. Yeah, that's right. But let us know. As I said, we want to make the site fun and as accessible as possible and user friendly as possible. So if any of that stuff can help people out and encourage discussion, because we want to get more people talking and not just saying, you know, nice release on the patches. Certainly appreciate people getting involved in the forum with the modding, but a discussion forum is for discussion. So we do want to get some fresh blood in there and people encouraged to sign up. And if that starts out with some guest posts or discuss comments, whichever way you want to say it, or so much the better. So again, please let us know any feedback on the functionality of the site. If you have any problems or suggestions, let me know. If you go down to the bottom of the main site, you'll see a contact form. Contact us, and you can just shoot an email through to me. Of course, if you want to just send it directly, my email is andrew@mba-live.com. I'm probably the best person to give that information to, since I'm running the show. So I will discuss it with Arcane, with Ben, and the rest of the guys, P-Dub and Big Horde and everyone. But if you want to send it through to me directly, then it is going to get to the person who is running the site. So I've rambled about that long enough. We've covered all the news for this week, more or less. Before we move on to the NBA stuff, I just thought we'd discuss some of our recent gaming experiences, Ben. And both of us have kind of been taking a bit of a break from basketball gaming lately, to be honest. It's kind of around that time of the year where you've played it for a few months and then you do take that bit of a break, have you noticed?
And then, you know, probably, around All-Star weekend, you start getting back into it, especially, you know, once all the rosters and all that update stuff is starting to come around. And it's probably just after near the trade deadline. It's probably when you start.
And a few patches have come through for both games, so it's a lot of the major issues have been addressed, so you're kind of ready to get stuck in until the next one, next game comes out. Play it through to October or whatever,
I mean, I've been living in GTA world this past 2 weeks.
Can you play basketball in GTA? Because you could in San Andreas, or at least you could shoot around.
You can
play
tennis and golf, and you can arm wrestle and bike ride and parachute. But there is basketball courts, but at least in the story mode, I've seen that you can't. I haven't seen anything on GTA Online where you can actually play basketball. So I'm kind of like, oh, I'm hoping.
I know everything else is in the game. You can even go into your son's room and do recreational drugs, but no basketball. You know what kind of message is this sending in a game where you can shoot the police? I mean. Okay, point taken.
But there's a fair amount you can do, but I was kind of disappointed because I was driving around trying to find a basketball court, and I find one. You can't even shoot around. Well, again, this is in the story mode, and I was playing as Franklin at the time. I couldn't do it. I was like, oh. But
see, and that's the thing, because you've got it on PS4, and you've also got 2K15, so there should be like some integration.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know, imagine that, and you know, we were talking about making Visual Concepts.
And they were
2K,
saying that, you know, that the park was going to be like GTA Online or something, wasn't it? That was their little setup.
Yeah, it was 2K's version of GTA Online. Yeah,
I feel shortchanged in that sense. I was kind of hoping to try and do something like that.
It might be the part, as we've said before, the part where you can actually like target people and shoot them and take their VC. that might be too controversial for the NBA to allow.
They can always let it out in GTA. So, literally
which
shoot
side
for
of
it.
You want, you know? Yeah. you know, White Man Can't Jump would have been a really darker movie.
It's been good playing that game. Like, managed to achieve a few things, and I've had to reclaim some of my world records in that, so I've been doing that. I'm sort of at a stall point in the story mode. I'm trying to figure out what to do next in that. I've been playing more online stuff, and it's easier to make cash in that as opposed to in the story mode to be able to move up in the world in that.
I haven't actually fired up the game on the PS4 yet. I haven't played the 360 version since 2013. I have a really weird I correct myself, actually. I did play online at a friend's place who's got it on PS3. Someone had a tank. And that is not fun because we respawn, run over by tank. Respawn, run over by tank.
Yeah, well, basically, someone hijacked the tank just on me the other day, and I was telling you.
And that's the end of the game, basically. And it's just, it's a game changer, literally. So. But yeah, I go through a weird phase with GTA, and I know we wanted to talk about basketball gaming, and we will get there in a moment. We will touch on that in a moment, people. But I do go through a weird thing with GTA, and I guess basketball games where I do put them aside for a while and then pick them up, especially when we have a few games going and juggling a few games at once that are in depth. You kind of go back and forth and have phases of them. But with GTA, I kind of get to a certain point, get stuck in the story, and then I put it aside for months or even years at a time. Like, I finished, I think, how many years did it take before I finished GTA 3?
Wow.
I think 4 or 5. Yeah. Which is funny because in the meantime, I got Liberty City Stories on PS2 and, like, finished it in a couple of weeks or something. I just really got into it. And then, oh, well, I'll go back and see if I can see where I was stuck in GTA 3 and then just sort of plowed through it. Yeah, so I'll have this weird thing where I kind of get stuck and, you know, I'm sick of failing that mission all these times. And I'm not a huge online gamer either, so I was like, yeah, and it goes aside for a while. But I'm just about ready to pick it up again, especially because I did get it on PS4. I double-dipped because I did want to get it on PS4. And I think, actually, if I log in with the same Rockstar account, I can actually continue my progress. That's the thing?
With both versions, like if you went from the 360 version to a PS4 version or even to PS3 to PS4 version, you can bring your progress straight over onto the online stuff. So that's really good. I think the Xbox One's doing the same as well. I'm pretty sure. I'd say I'm 99% sure that they're doing the same.
And it's cross-version as well. So my 360 progress can actually go to PS3.
PS3 version can go to Xbox One version if they're doing, like I think they are. So, you know, if you did sort of change consoles this cycle on that.
But that's really good that they've done that. And it makes me think if that's possible, you know, what could be possible for the basketball games? Because if you do get it every year, as we do, trying to get that progress from my career, even just that little boost, so you're not 62 overall or whatever when you start, so you have to bring some progress over to the next game if you have it. So that's
like what's going to happen with Street Fighter, like how it's going to be PlayStation console and then also PC, and you can actually cross play against each other on those versions. So things like
that. Absolutely. I mean, that would be great for online team play and everything in both the basketball games, but at least to be able to bring some progress from your career or dynasty or something from the previous year, a bit of a thank you for buying it every year, I suppose, or if you do want to upgrade but still continue a really good game, give you some way of
leagues like my careers and stuff, how they can go like 25 years or so. Carry it over.
Be able to import it over somehow. Yeah, being able to start again, because that's the big thing. Because it's, you know, without simulating, how do you finish? Especially 80 seasons in my league and my GM, how do you finish that without simulating? In the case of a year, unless you are just playing the 2-minute quarters, I suppose. But I would like to see that in the basketball games, and it's cool to see them doing it in other titles. That's kind of how I am with Grand Theft Auto. I'm a bit of a weirdo when it comes to that. So that's what you've been playing mostly. I picked up Fallout New Vegas again, because every so often I just like, okay, I've got my ultimate playthrough going. You know, this is like my ultimate, okay, I know the game back to front, so I'm having my perfect playthrough at the moment. And trying to find things that I've never found all the unique weapons, and I'm just like looking at all the secret areas and that kind of thing. So every so often I'll just pick it up and play that for an hour or two as well in between the other stuff. And of course, been playing a bit of other basketball games as well here and there. Of course, I'll fire them up to get screenshots for my articles and such. Friday Five. It's not really a cheap plug if I'm talking about it on the NLSC podcast, I suppose. In fact, tying into the wish list last week, knowing that I would be doing the wish list over the weekend, last week's Friday Five was the five strangest complaints about basketball video games, one of which was about NBA Live 2002, because somebody, and by all means, go back and read the article and comment on it if you enjoyed it or have something to say about it. One of the weirdest complaints I've ever heard was someone was really, really, really upset that on the team stat screen, Ben, used the word city above the names of the teams, and as they pointed out, teams like Utah and Indiana are not cities, they're states. Which is a valid point, But of all the complaints you can make about NBA Live 2002, that's probably, you know, not at the top of the totem pole. But having said that, I did actually play a full game of NBA Live 2002 the other day. And one of the reasons I am going back and playing the older games is because I'm writing these articles, as I've mentioned before, so that we can launch and do our 20th anniversary of NBA Live content this year, coming very soon. I know I've been saying that for a while, but I've got it getting it all in order and seeing what some of the other guys want to do for it, and if we can line up some other special content as well, maybe some interviews and whatnot. But yes, I went back and I've been playing these games to get a feel for them so I can write my retrospectives. And one thing I've found about NBA Live 2002, Ben, it actually holds up better than I remember. And that's not to say that it's not... I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun with it at the time, or despite my complaints about it. And it's one of the main problems is that it's really out of whack with its offensive-defensive rebound ratio. Like, it's not too bad for the CPU, but I had 52 rebounds in the game. I played the Wizards versus the Warriors. Michael Jordan, of course, on the Wizards that year. He scored 55 points for me because that team wasn't really stacked with scorers. Actually had a really good game. It went to overtime. I did end up losing, but I hit a three at the buzzer with Tyronn Lue, of all people, to send the game into overtime. And it was really fun and competitive. And I was playing on Superstar, and of course, haven't played the game for a while, so the hardest difficulty was quite challenging because I'd forgotten all the nuances of 2002, and I'm trying to do today's moves. It's like, nope, it doesn't really play along with that strategy, actually. But actually, having said that, the strategy was actually better. You know, working people open, taking mid-range jump shots and everything actually did work better than I remember. I guess back in the day, I was still, you know, young teenager and whatnot, still learning really starting to learn about NBA strategy and play calling and such, and using some of that knowledge I have now, it did actually play a bit more realistically than I thought. But as I said, rebounding, I had 32 Jeez. Offensive rebounds in that game. 32 of the 52 offensive the boards were at the on the offensive glass. So yeah, that was a problem. A few too many blocks, and you lose the ball a bit too easily when there's contact. And there's some stiffness in some of the moves. You know, it's a game from 2001. It's not going to match up with 2K15 or even Live 15 in many respects. That said, though, yeah, I was actually surprised, and I will go more into this when I write my article on Live 2002, and that's one of the reasons why I played it. But it does actually, it holds up better, and that's some of the things that you, when you go back and play an old game, and what's the oldest game you've played recently, basketball game?
I suppose it was kind of Live 06 or Live 08, but that was mainly just testing. It was probably Live 06.
Live 06 is a pretty solid title on PC. But even so, you go back and you play the game. There's two things you realize. First of all, you think, wow, I used to think this looked really good back in the day. And of course, graphics. And they were. You know, the graphics were pretty good for the time. And the closer you get within the last 10 years or so, they're still pretty good. Even 2002 is not terrible. It's certainly dated, though. It's not like Nintendo 64, though, as far as you go back and play Live 98 or 99 on the 64, and you're like, wow, that's that's really dated. It's really blocky, you know, early 3D models and such. But, you know, 2002 on PS2, not too bad. But so you realize, okay, you know, I used to think this was really good. It's certainly dated. But then you also, it's funny, you look back and you think, this actually wasn't as bad. Like, at the time, you had all these expectations. It was the new game that was out, and you're like, oh, you know, why didn't they fix this from last year? And, oh, this needs to get better still, and all that stuff. When you just go back and play it out of context, or you can sort of put it in the context of the era and judge it, you know, looking back in hindsight being 2020, you do find some of these games are like, yeah, this is actually a little bit better than I remember. Not always, but sometimes, for some of the better releases anyway. And yeah, that is something that surprised me, because I do remember 2002 as being a rather controversial release, because, of course, it was the first one that didn't come out on PC. That was a bit of a controversy in the forum at the time. But yeah, it actually held up better than I thought. And I mean, have you had that experience where you've gone back and played a basketball game or other game and found out, yeah, it's actually a little bit better than you remembered? And if not, I would certainly recommend doing it, because it's an interesting experience.
I think Live 09.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay. I might need to do that myself, yeah.
Like playing Live 10 and even NCAA 10, and then going back to it and seeing some of those little things that I thought really... Yeah, like the control and the paint, the pick and roll game, the amount of like, well, there was a lot more animations within the key in that. In Live 10, there was really sort of more just a fadeaway, weird shot in a sense, and you didn't really have any up unders or, you know, anything to go off the backboard and like anything like that. So those sort of things there, in a sense, some of the smoothest in the dribbling animation stuff, even though you couldn't really move forward or in a direction in that, there was a fairly nice fluidity to them. Yes, you had to sort of wait for the animation to finish before you could sort of go in a direction, but there were some nice moments in that. And I think there was more signature content within the players' movements, especially with a lot of the bigger main players. That for me was really good compared to Live 10. Because Live 10, a lot of players just felt the same in terms of there not really being much in the way of signature animation stuff.
Which is weird, because I was pretty sure they added more in 10.
I think that was really about it. But in terms of, like, and obviously the jump shots, that was probably it. But in terms of, again, sort of layups and dunks and stuff, there was, I felt
wider variety of signature packages.
More basic animations. There was, I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was Live 09, there was a certain dunk that I did, and I did put it up on EA Sports World when they had it, where I'd only seen it once, and trying to recreate it again, and that, I couldn't do it. So it was like, I got to see a couple of reanimations. It was like, for memory, I sort of was doing like some half spin moves against like Andrew Bynum, and then I sort of faked him and I think Gasol out and did this nice up and under and basically kicked Bynum in the face afterwards. That was kind of, it was satisfying, let's just say that.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say they should bring that back, EA Sports World, but then I realized, well, today's consoles you can just upload screenshots and go straight to YouTube or Twitch, so it's kind of
Sports
redundant.
Sports World was so limited to like 5 or 10 plays. I think it was...
You had to download it and then... if you wanted to keep it and then upload new ones,
It was 5 players with NCAA, and it was 10 players with NBA. And yeah, there were only a maximum of 28 seconds that you're allowed, as opposed to PS4 is like 15 minutes. The Xbox One's 5 or 7 minutes. I could be wrong. I'm just trying to remember, like, around the original release information and stuff when those consoles were coming out, it was between 5 or 7 minutes, maybe to 10. I could be wrong on that.
PS4 does 15 minutes.
It's interesting that, it wouldn't be needed so much anymore, but they were good stepping stones in being able to...
It was handy at the time, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when you didn't have a capture card and you wanted to add something to the...
Exactly.
To a story thread or do an article or something, yeah, absolutely. But so you saw that's 09. I might have to check that out. It's been a while since I've played 09 on 360, and to check it out and see what it's all about. See if it strikes me differently, because I remember being very irritated by the rebounding in 09, sort of the delay. You know, you had to do that little half jump. That was one of my big things in 09. That's basically been my main experience this past week. That really stood out to me that I wanted to talk about, actually playing 2002 and finding it. And again, I will elaborate more in my article and other content to come for the 20th anniversary of Live. But yeah, it actually struck me as being a little bit better, especially as a game that I remembered that I had fun with, but I kind of remembered it as being a bit more flawed. So it was interesting to go back. And if anyone else indulge a bit of a retro basketball gaming, let me know if you kind of find a game is better or for that matter, worse than you remember, whether the nostalgia goggles hold up or whether the illusion is shattered, so to speak. But I know you've been mostly playing GTA, but we were talking about it last night. Did you get any basketball gaming in this week at all? Did you
Live,
pick up my
15 in?
Oh, okay. Yep. So
yeah,
you've been doing mostly 2K for my career.
I'm in the second season, obviously, or the first full season, and I'm right up to the point where the All-Star Weekend events, and I'm in like the slam dunk contest.
Nice. And so that's a great thing. You know, we talked about how we sort of put it aside, and then All-Star Weekend you pick it up. Now you get to be excited by the All-Star Weekend.
So I'm right at the point where we'll be at next week. I think I've just gotten the signature shoe just in time. Obviously, there's sort of a shoe glitch, but there's a small walk around with that, and I think I'm actually able to to wear that. So doing like custom colorways and all that stuff for, I think I'm in the rookie sophomore as well. I know I'm in two events, definitely, possibly the third. So, and then, yeah, obviously the All-Star Weekend game. So, but yeah, I was, again, I had stopped deliberately at this point with 2K just because I'm still hopeful of like maybe a fourth patch just to fix up anything. So I'll probably pick it up around the trade deadline again and sort of see. But I could end up just going to like just a couple of play now type games. And then trade deadline time is when I'll start into the my league. That's sort of the goal. But I've got like around 60,000 VC, and that's without the extra 15,000.
Nice. You still haven't followed up on
GTA
with the tech support yet?
All my time, and it's like, yeah, it's not a high priority. No.
Too much. You can't even send an email, Ben.
Well, that and between something else that we've discussed earlier. So, yeah. Yeah, so it's been a high priority with that stuff. But, yeah, and right now, like, because I haven't, I've sort of reached nearly the limit of the, I think you can only get like 100 of the skill attribute upgrades and stuff like that. I'm at 89 or something now, so 88, 89, so I haven't got too many left. So whether I just save it up and see if there's going to be another patch, and then if not, start all over again, or if I continue on, sort of thing. Like this current one that I was had been doing, and that it was always set to be sort of like a test one, and then again just wait for all the patches, all the content stuff to be out, and then start over. And I figured it was easier because you sort of only start off halfway into the season, sort of thing. It was going to be easier to not have to go through all the draft stuff, and then so hopefully it wouldn't be such I don't want to say drag, but a lot more work to get to the point where I was at now. So
No, it's very interesting what they did this year, and it makes sense. I don't like the characters, I've said so many times before, of the player, but I do like the approach. It makes sense.
Yeah.
It's probably a better story.
I'd still like that opportunity to go for that rookie of the year kind of thing, you know.
Yeah. Which is really difficult, obviously, with the limited. But you've also been playing some Live 15 as well, you said.
As the Blazers versus the Warriors. I was going to go with the Heat, but because of the whole thing with Whiteside being injured with his ankle injury and Dwayne Wade out, and even Dang, it was like sort of limited by the players, the roster at the moment. So, and obviously with the, you can't just do like the uninjured list sort of thing version.
Exactly, which is definitely something we need to do.
It was like
for the wish list.
All right, time to play is the Blazers, and I couldn't. Yes, and
cover athlete of all, Damian Lillard.
One of my favorite players, Marcus Aldridge, and then also really like Wesley Matthews as well. I couldn't get Wesley Matthews into like his shot. I just couldn't find the rhythm for it. So, and I'll admit, I was only playing half-heartedly because it was late and I had a few beers. As you do. And so, So
always a good time to...
And I had another distraction going on in the background.
Did it stand out as a fairly positive experience?
Yeah,
feeling good about life?
Because I was only playing so half. There wasn't full competitive mode in that sense. But yeah, I still had fun with it. I wasn't frustrated, but I had a couple of nice plays with it. And I did save it, but I haven't uploaded it yet just because.
I've got a couple I need to upload. And it's good because this year, when something feels good, you actually look at it in the replay, it usually looks good too. Whereas last year with 14, it's kind of like, oh, that looked good. No, it doesn't so much.
That was a good experience in just a laid-back play mode, play now experience in that for me. So,
It is interesting, like we say, you kind of put it aside after a few months, or certainly a lot of people do, but... need to pick it up again, sort of getting my, with the All-Star weekend, it is rekindling my interest a bit, so I'll need to start playing through and play a bit more of my 06 Dynasty, because I picked that up again in year 3 and after winning back-to-back, so continue my story thread a little bit more, so we'll have more to chat about in the future weeks, in the podcast, of course, leading up to some actual news about next game. Once again, wishlist plug, but it's been one of that time where we've kind of drifted to other games, and I think anyone who's played GTA Online who really likes the online play can attest to how addictive and engrossing it is. So And you being a world record holder and needing to protect that.
Pride's on stake.
It's very important as well. But absolutely. But that's pretty much it for the basketball gaming this week. Just before we wrap up, we'll talk a little about the All-Star Weekend coming up, of course. Just before we do, just want to note that we successfully jinxed another team, Ben. The Hawks made it to 19 wins in a row, and they won again after we mentioned it, but they didn't make it to 20. They lost to who did they lose to last week? The Bucks. The Bucks ended their streak at 19. Oh, only 19 games. But they are still have a really good record, and then they went ahead and beat the Warriors in a matchup of the teams with the best record. And I think if I'm remembering this correctly, of what they mentioned, a trivia note, this is the latest point in the season that two teams with less than 10 wins have met. So that does obviously not happens very often. The Warriors are now 40-9.
Well, you said
the
less
Hawks
than
are 42-9.
Than
so
okay.
Less than 10 losses. Yes, yeah, sorry, less than 10 losses. Yeah.
Is he talking about the Knicks here? Or... Knicks and
the exciting matchup between the Knicks and the Sixers.
Knicks and Minnesota.
Oh, the blockbuster, the must-see game, yeah. But unfortunately, I didn't see that game. I do have League Pass, so I'd go back and watch it, I suppose. The Hawks and Warriors, quite a battle there. The Hawks prevailed, and they've got the best record in the league at the moment. We talked about it before, but that was a potential finals preview, and I'm starting to wonder, could it be? Because neither of them are really slowing down.
It's hard to believe, but they are looking legit.
It's not out of the question. I wouldn't call it a lock, but it's looking possible, really possible, and it could turn out to be a really interesting series. The Hawks have won a championship before when they were in St. Louis. And, of course, the Warriors have won before. In fact, the Warriors actually won the first title as the Philadelphia Warriors in the Basketball Association of America beat the Chicago Stags. No relation to the Chicago Bulls, although they did wear those terrible throwback uniforms with the red jerseys and blue shorts.
Did but, my nose?
I mean, red and blue just... I shouldn't mind them because Newcastle's colours are red and blue, so I should have liked them.
I remember patching them for NBA Live and that, and I didn't mind them. Like, not the absolute greatest but given the time and that they're in.
Well, they're no Rockets pajama jerseys, but you know what it is.
Which
I do actually like. I actually do like those ones.
I like them as well. Yeah.
People hate them.
They were in 90s uniform, but I like the graphic factor that there was an element of design to them. It wasn't so bland, where it was too, almost a corporate design. It was just... it had personality.
It was good. Okay, so it's like the Raptors jerseys. Yeah. They've been wearing those throwbacks with the cartoon Raptors on them. I actually like those.
Again, 90s, but classic.
I do like those. Exactly. But so we're looking at a potential finals preview, maybe. Meanwhile, all five starters of the Heat, the Hawks, were named the Eastern Conference Player of the Month.
Did
you see this?
I thought it was just a joke.
Okay. I did too, and then I saw it, and I saw they were serious, and okay. I don't want to sound like one of those people that just can't accept change or anything different out of the norm, but what the hell are you thinking, NBA? I mean, I know what they were going for. It was something different, and yes, the Hawks are playing great team ball at the moment, and they 17-0 in January and everything, but it's player of the month. If you can't
flip a coin,
pick a single standout player, you're not trying hard enough. I mean, okay, when the Bulls went 72-10, did the entire starting five get the MVP, or was it Michael Jordan? It was Michael Jordan because he was the standout player. When the Heat went 27 wins in a row, did they give it to LeBron James, the MVP? Well, actually, no. Yeah, they did. He was MVP that year. Did they give the MVP to LeBron? Did they give Player of the Month to LeBron, or did they give it to the whole Heat starting five? No, because it's Player of the Month. It's not starting five of the month. And so in the other time, it's like James. Okay, so we've got James Harden versus the entire starting five of the Atlanta Hawks. I'm sorry. It was... It's one of those things where I look at Adam Silver and think, are you just trying to do stuff to put your stamp on the commissionership and that you're doing anything wacky? Like, he's actually talking about expanding the All-Star rosters, which not a bad idea, I think. If you at least want to go to maybe 13 players, because that's what the current NBA active roster is, 13 players. It used to be 12, 7 off the bench. Now it's 8. If they wanted to do 13 to match it, that wouldn't be so bad. Although Jalen Rose brought up a decent point on the little mini podcast that community manager AJ
does. Yeah, that was actually
NBA Live 15.
the little
I'm not
podcast
sure if you
that I
heard
heard
it, Ben.
actually while playing the game last night. And yeah, I think there's a valid point in regards to what he said for sure.
And basically that it should be exclusive, and that if you do expand it too much, it kind of
yeah,
cuts down
he,
on the special
he
nature. I mean,
described
yes, there are
it as
snubs,
like
but
almost like a participation award in like in school. Yeah, you know, everyone gets a trophy
in Little
or a
League,
medal
yeah,
or something.
And that was a good. My only counterpoint to that might be that, you know, now that if they do select three or four players from one team, that maybe having 13 to 15 players might allow a couple of other potential snubs to be there, like people who should be there, but because we've rewarded this team that's winning and we've given them three or four All-Stars, a couple of extra slots allows like a Damian Lillard to get in kind of thing. But Jalen Rose did make a very good point with that Little League participation
and, you know,
and the exclusivity of the exclusiveness of the
but
whole
he did make
selection,
the point about, you know,
I guess,
eliminating the fan voting as well.
Fans do a better job than the coaches. So there was less people upset with the fan voting this year, the starters, than there were the benches for both teams. So the fan voting is actually pretty golden. You know, fan voting usually hits about 80% people are happy with. The coaches, you know, they probably shoot about 50 or 60 compared to
the
80 or so, 80-90%.
Outrageous fan voting is obviously when Yao Ming was injured. He got, and some people thinking it was 96 and inverted Grant Hill isn't a starter, even though it was, what, 2000? Yeah, I mean,
he did have a bit of resurgence.
He was probably more off the bench than a starter role.
Yeah, although, I mean, I kind of like that because it was kind of like, you know what, after all these years and thinking your career was over, I liked it for that respect.
Yeah.
If we were to be totally honest, he probably didn't deserve it ahead of some other players.
I totally agree with that. Like, there's no doubt that, especially after all the setbacks, that he was still able to.
I agreed with the gesture. In fact, I think I might have even voted for him. Yes,
it was you, damn it.
So I'm going to take responsibility for that, I suppose. It was me. I was the one vote that tipped the scale. But, I mean, it's an interesting point. I think, if anything, you might go to 13-man rosters cause, to match the current NBA. Or you could just do a better job selecting the reserves, I suppose. The other thing that there's, we are running out of time. We do want to do our All-Star predictions. I suppose if we run long, we run long. But the NBA is considering having the division winners make the playoffs, the six division winners, and then the next 10 teams, regardless of conference. Do you like that idea?
No.
Yes. Because I'm hearing you. I kind of have the same thing. Like, I see the merit in the idea, especially with the imbalance in the conferences at the moment. But it's throwing out a format that's got years of history
aspect,
into it.
You know,
and do you make these changes just because at the moment it's a problem? It's like when people were really upset about, oh, look at how the seeding format's terrible and everything, and the Mavericks. Or the Spurs, you know, lost and they should have been able to get through the next round. And then the next year, the next year they got through the second round and got wiped out. And they got upset. And that's the thing. Things are not going to go perfectly. In some years there will be that imbalance.
I suppose it's a knee reject reaction. Like, it's trying to find a short-term solution.
Mm.
You know, that's just going to be happen for like one or two seasons here every now and then. So, I consider it a knee-jerk type solution or reaction to solution.
So I'm just looking at how many teams would actually be out of the playoffs. I think the bottom three in the East is who would be out. Yeah, bottom three in the East is who'd be eliminated, which is the Bucks, just Charlotte and Miami. So I'll understand if you want to keep the current system so that he can be in the playoffs. Although on the other hand, they could get the draft pick if they're out of the playoffs. So basically 13 of the 16 teams would be the same, and you'd probably still seed them in a way that's geographical, which becomes an East versus West thing anyway. Maybe some of the Midwest Central teams would kind of, well, there's not no Midwest division anymore, but some of the teams like the Bulls, who are kind of on the border of East and West, maybe you kind of, you know, have an East versus West there, technically. But for the sake of three teams that would change, you know, are people saying that the Thunder, the Hornets, or the Nuggets... Oh, sorry, hang on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Actually, Yeah, in fact, I think it might only be two teams that change. Yeah, so Charlotte and Miami would be out, and New Orleans and Oklahoma City are in. And I don't know. I mean, does that really change the playoff picture that much? I mean, do people think the Pelicans are going to go all the way this year? I mean, they're doing well, but, you know, over the Warriors or the Grizzlies or Rockets or the Blazers, I mean, or even the defending Spurs, you know, they're not doing, they're only like seventh, or only seventh in the West. But we know how they're going to go in the playoffs. I mean,
more complicated than they need to be.
Yeah. I mean, the West is just very competitive right now, and the East has the worst records. I mean,
just consider it like
The teams that are going to contend for the championship are still going to be in the teams that are most likely to contend for the championship are going to be in the playoffs and probably in the second round, which is where the playoffs really start to pick up. Although last year, was it last year?
It was last year.
Yeah. It was last year, yeah. We had a really good first round, and everything else was kind of a disappointment until the finals. And even then, if you were a Heat fan, it was a disappointment anyway. So, wasn't it? But yeah, it's. I mean, I don't want to be that guy that's like, oh, this is tradition, so it must be, there can be nothing better than this. You know, it's like the people who can subscribe to the idea that there's been no first-person shooter that's been good since GoldenEye on the 64. I mean, it was a great game for its time, but, you know, times have changed. And times have changed here in the NBA as well. But for the sake of getting two of the West teams in there that are kind of hovering around 500 themselves in there and probably not going to contend, you know, the Thunder are kind of up and down this year and the Pelicans are doing well and will improve, but they're not contenders, you know. And then you're going to probably seed the first round matchups based on geography anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we've already got that. It's East versus West. So I don't know. To me, it feels a bit redundant. It's probably the best solution I've heard so far, rather than just having the top teams, regardless of conference, the top 16, regardless of it, still recognizing the division leaders and having some kind of structure to it. But no, yeah, I'll still take East versus West.
It eliminates any confusion or mess in that sense. And
it's clean. It's a clean structure.
Everyone knows. And, you know, especially think like the people that might only be sort of casually involved with the NBA and, you know, they finally, you know, say that they follow it, but they're not as in depth or as hardcore as we are. It's fanatics. It confuses the hell out of that. They go, what the hell's happening? You know.
So we're taking the division winners, which are divided by conference, but we're also then we're going to throw the conference out the window for the rest of it. Yeah, I don't know. I think a couple of years' time, it may not even be an issue. You know, teams like the Bucks seem to be on the rise, and they're above. You do have six teams in the East above 500, and those six teams would make the playoffs under the new structure. So I mean, for the sake of 14 of the 16 are unchanged. It's like that's. People make it out to be a bigger problem. It's like the draft lottery. You know, people make it out to be this really big problem. It's actually working okay. It's not perfect, but neither is the new system. So, you know, when the new system isn't... When the new system's a lateral movement at best, I think I always prefer keeping what's in place. You know, that's just me. I don't like change for the sake of change.
Yeah.
Change must be for the better. Certainly not for the worse, and a lateral movement is almost as bad in my book. So I say keep it. I say keep it East versus West. I'm going to be old school. I'll be like the people who still claim that Wilt Chamberlain's the best player of all time. That's what I grew up with. So I'm sticking with what I grew up with, damn it. I am glad they are getting rid of East versus West for the All-Star, not the All-Star game, but the All-Star
terrible.
Saturday events. That was not working out.
There was no real winner.
It was done. We had a dunker of the night. You know, that's not a dunker of the night. Dumb. Last year's All-Star weekend sucked. I'm just going to put it out there. But this year, we could have a really good contest. A really good weekend. I wrote a Friday Five article about it. I've got League Pass. I can watch the whole thing. Celebrity game included, I imagine. But it has come time before we wrap up this week. I haven't gone too long. It's over an hour at this point. Let me take a look. Where should we start? So I think we have all the participants of all the events. So let us run through our predictions really quickly because we did really good with predictions, Ben. okay, you know, let's start with my least favorite event and the one that's almost impossible to predict, the Shooting Stars contest. I would not mind if this went the way the dinosaur and the dodo. And speaking of dinosaurs, Team Bosch. So Team Bosch, we have Chris Bosch of the Heat, Dominic Wilkins, the legend participant representing the Hawks, I imagine. Probably not his run with the Magic to end his career, although there it is, Orlando. And Swin Cash of the New York Liberty. That's Team Bosch, Team Curry, Curry. That is Stephen Curry and Del. Oh, that's
that,
awesome.
That
Stephen Curry
year,
and Del Curry, father and son, competing.
I think so.
Was that last year? I must have just completely tuned that out. And Sue Bird of the Seattle Storm, Del Curry, the legend participant, Stephen Curry, the current NBA player, of course. Team Davis, Anthony Davis, and Scottie Pippen is a legend, and Elena Del Don. Elena Del Don.
I haven't heard it verbally pronounced for a while, so.
Yeah, my apologies for that one. It's the discus comments all over again, but she's representing the Chicago Sky, so two bulls there and a pelican. Two bulls and a pelican. That's Team Davis. Team Westbrook, of course, Russell Westbrook of the Thunder. Anthony Penny Hardaway is the legend, so we get to see him in action. Haven't seen him for a while. And Tamika Catchings of the Indiana Fever. Now, here's what I want.
Yep.
I'm going to make one prediction, Ben, that's got nothing to do with the winner. It's in New York, right? Or actually, it's going to be, technically, it's going to be not in New York, it's going to be in Brooklyn, the All-Star Saturday night, since the Nets and Knicks are co-hosting. They're going to split the two between the two arenas. Cool idea, actually. Penny Hardaway, New York City, or sorry, rather New York, Spike Lee, Little Penny's going to make a comeback.
Tyra Banks walking out, and like the smoke machine and Little Penny with Tyra. For those who don't know the reference, there was one ad, Little Penny, one of the commercials from back in the 90s, and Tyra was the girlfriend in that. So if that happens, I'm going to laugh. And
I want to see the Little Penny puppet come back with Chris Rock doing the voice as well. That was Chris Rock, wasn't it, doing the voice?
With
Spike Lee, yeah. It just makes sense, especially with it being in New York and Brooklyn. Who's your pick for the winner?
In ways,
because it's so random that half court shot just makes the whole thing a crapshoot, basically. So
smart bet in terms of shooting sort of suggests Team Curry.
That's what I'm leaning towards. Curry,
but it's that half court shot that just the shooting bet. Yeah, this is probably one of the most unpredictable ones, and probably the skills, like just because you know if that bounce.
Whoever just stuffs up makes a mistake, and it just...
Smart Money says Team Curry, but I wouldn't be surprised if Team Bosch wins it again, because they've won it like once or twice, haven't they? Let's see if the history...
This will be their third consecutive.
So it'd be something like that would probably happen.
I'm going to say it
wouldn't just be surprising if it won.
I'm going to take a cheap shot here and say that Chris Bosh, being a member of the Heat, is not going to win three in a row. And I'm going to go with the Currys. You know, I'm going to say the Currys are going to be spicy and they're going to win this contest. So you're going with the Currys as well, are you?
I think I'll go with the Currys, but
For as much as we care about this contest, shall we say, as much as we care about this event, we're going with Team Curry. Okay, we actually probably should have started with this one because it's All-Star Friday. The Rising Stars Challenge, USA versus the world. I'm going with... let me just take a look at the rosters again.
I'm going
with US. I'm going with US.
Yeah, I think there's a bit more star power in there. But I'd like to see Exum play well. Yeah,
earn some more minutes with the Jazz. And Mirotić, of course, is on the...
Did
you see his lob to... to Etwan Moore, he threw it almost like a rugby pass, it was you know from his hip. He threw it from his hip. It was on point.
It was a quick draw from the hip.
He shot from the hip. Yeah, he can pass that. I'm quite excited about the future of Mirotić. Actually, he's shaping up to be pretty good.
Yep.
So we're going with the US. Okay. Let's take a look next. Taco Bell Skills Challenge. I don't know why I'm mentioning Taco Bell. They're not paying us money either.
And actually, is there
no
any,
one is.
Like Taco Bell used to exist straight? Yeah.
I think it's coming back, something's coming to Australia. We've got others. But we're not going to mention them until
not
they
just
pay
the tacos.
Us. So the skills challenge with an undetermined sponsor. Participants, Trey Burke of the Jazz, Jimmy Butler of the Bulls, Jeff Teague of the Hawks, Kyle Lowry of the Raptors, Michael Carter-Williams of the 76ers, Brandon Knight of the Bucks, Isaiah Thomas of the Phoenix Suns, not to be confused with Isaiah Thomas of the Detroit Pistons back in the day, and John Wall of the Wizards, the reigning champion. Who won it last year? Defending champion. Oh, Trey Burke. Trey Burke is actually he won it last year. I forgot about that.
Oh yeah, because yeah, it's got defending champion. Okay, his name on the image. So for the tweet that they sent out.
So Trey Burke, he's a defending champion. Do you think he makes it two in a row, or does somebody else? Again, such a crapshoot because all you need if they mess up, it's well documented. Yep. If they mess or up on that jump from the top of the key.
Yep.
The bounce.
Yeah, passing the ball into that tire. Yeah. Just that can kill it. Oh, I think we'll win it.
I'm going the dark horse. I'm going Brandon Knight, especially because remember that weird turnover he had? So nobody's going to be going for
you know
Brandon Knight.
Scary?
So I'm going to say Brandon Knight wins it.
I was thinking that like 2 or 3 minutes ago, just as we were starting, I was thinking him.
Brandon Knight. Okay, so we're both going for the dark horse.
Yeah, it was basically the exact same reason. That sort of weird fish flop move he did in the air when he couldn't pass the ball.
Yeah. Well, see, he's not passing to anyone. He's passing to a tire, so...
So, yeah, that was kind of who I was thinking. I was just thinking, it's coming...
The least obvious candidate. I'm going to stick with Knight. I'm going to stick with the Dark Horse champion. Dark Horse contender.
Yeah, I'll go Knight as well, just for the weirdness and of that. At least,
Well, look, we do so terribly in our predictions anyway that we might as well go for the ridiculous. Okay, here's the other one. I mean, we say it, all contests, what it comes down to on the day, it's like any event. The favorite can always can do it, but usually there's smart money on those contests. There's not really smart money because there's a small spread. Now we're getting to the 3-point shootout here. At least here, we can see the best shooters and make a pretty educated guess, I suppose. Who is Marco Bellinelli is the defending champion of the Spurs. He is in it again. What else is there? Stephen Curry. So we actually mentioned some of the contenders or contestants were leaked a couple of weeks back. We do actually have the official list now. Marco Bellinelli of the Spurs, Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson of the Warriors, James Harden of the Rockets, Kyrie Irving of the Cavaliers, Kyle Korver of the Hawks, Wesley Matthews of the Blazers, JJ Redick of the Clippers. So a very strong field there. May see a few records broken or tied or certainly challenged. This is hard because there's some really good shooters.
Do you think this could be one of the strongest 3-point contestant shootouts that they've had?
Probably some of the strongest since the early days of Bird and Craig Hodges, and even then, 3-point shot was relatively new in the NBA. So these today's players are shooting it at the higher clip. So in fact, Stephen Curry just mentions here the quickest, fastest player to hit 1,000 3-point field goals in his 369th game in the league. So I think he's going to pass Ray Allen and Reggie for with over 2,000 by the time it's all said and done. But Kyle Korver is a name that keeps jumping out at me, because maybe because the Hawks are doing so well. But 53%, he is shooting the ball lights out this year.
I had a thing in Wesley Matthews, maybe.
I think you're doing what I'm doing, is that people like the favorites are probably someone like Stephen Curry or Klay Thompson, and so that's where the smart money is. Where we're kind of shying away from it. And Korver's not much of a jumper either. So and kind of having that shorter jump, really benefits you in this contest, because you're not expending as much energy, you're not wasting as much time.
I'll stick with Matthews. I think I'd like him to see he does the arrow little signature thing that he does. And actually, I do wonder I was thinking this the other day, whether they'll add that in Live 16 or in NBA 2K16, and that, whether it's deemed, like inappropriate, how there was like the whole gun. Although I was thinking that, what's his name? The ugly dude from Chicago. Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, joking now.
How he
used to do the double guns, and they retired them.
Gilbert Arenas situation and all that stuff. So, it's.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
You know, people said, "Oh, you're being oversensitive because you're doing this." It's not really that. It's just it was dumb. It's like, dude, you've got really serious charges against you. Lay low, man. It's don't draw more attention to yourself. Keep your nose clean. It just it wasn't
it, like,
offensive.
3 days
it was just
later,
silly.
After the whole, so it's like, oh, you idiot.
Just
go back to feeding
low,
your Shark Tank.
Lay low, but yeah.
I mean, that's an expensive Shark Tank too. Was it how? I can't remember how. It's like $250,000 a year just to maintain, or something like that.
It's celebrity. So we're going with Korver and Matthews for 3 points. And that would be interesting if they do the celebrations in more celebrations in live and 2K. In fact, I think it's okay as long as nobody sharpens a mustache. So main event of Saturday night is the dunk contest. As we mentioned last week, we actually have a good format this year. In fact, it even mentions it in the article. A format change that adds an old school feel to the 30th edition contest. 30 editions of the contest. Makes sense. because I'm 30, it started in 84 and they missed 1998 and 99. So yeah, okay, 30th edition. So I hope they actually keep it. I hope it's not just a 30th anniversary thing. I hope they do actually think, yeah, this actually makes sense. So we got the participants, the Greek Freak, because I got his name right last week and I'm not going to risk it again. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Zach LaVine, Victor Oladipo, and Mason Plumlee are the four participants. Two dunks per round, top two advance from the first round to the finals. Judging all the way, thumbs up once again. But who wins? There's no Vince Carter in this contest. In fact, I actually think if Vince Carter entered this contest, he'd probably still win. He can still get up there. We've seen these guys, and there's highlight videos here that we can watch as well. We've seen them do some impressive stuff in the past before, of course. But who stands out to you in that field?
I can eliminate Plumlee, although it wouldn't surprise me if he could do something. But I think his height factor will sort of be a deterrent. It won't bring those high scores. Like a smaller person, or a shorter person doing some more elaborate style, or even attempting the same dunk.
Height seems to work against people always. Yeah,
I know Levine can do some nice dunks. I haven't seen too, like, I've heard whispers and that, but I haven't seen too many like YouTube clips or anything, like sort of like little mixtape stuff. But I've heard rumors that he can do some very nice dunks. Greek Freak with these arms, would that be a again? Will it bring
an unintentional penalty? Because it's not, they're not supposed to be penalized, but it kind of never does look as impressive as the shorter guys. Yeah,
I mean Oladipo and Levine, just because I know they're shorter, and whether it'll have that impressive factor. So, if no penalty given for height factor or arm length factor, I'd go either Oladipo and I'm not going to try and pronounce it right now. The Greek Freak. I think they're probably the two most likely to win it.
Yeah, I'm going to give a shout out to our good buddy Leftos. Hello, Leftos, and go with the Greek Freak myself. We've seen him do some pretty impressive stuff in game already, and you know the length. We could just see him do some. I think he could do some really impressive tricks.
And just sort of with his arm length, I think. If he was to not only sort of showcase his verticality and that, but, you know, to get his arm so high above the rim in some sense, and if he was to go for, like, the elbow hang dunk, you know, it will look really impressive in that sense. So if he was able to do something that illustrate the illusion of verticality in his dunk,
The armpit in the rim?
Yeah.
Like the NBA Live dunk contest.
So, something like that will give him the edge.
Okay, so we're both going him for the finals to win the contest. Since we've gone pretty much the same way with our predictions, let's also make a secondary prediction for this one. Who do you think is going to be the runner?
I'll go Oladipo.
Oladipo? Okay, I'll go Levine. So there we go. We'll see. We can at least have the secondary prediction for that one, and who's the runner up?
That sounds good.
And moving on to the main event of the whole weekend, East versus West in the All Star game. Is it the 64th? In your All-Star game, something along those lines.
There's no other. If the West loses, then
I think they're just going to win it with their three-point shooting, to be honest. I think Curry and Thompson are just going to, yeah. So, actually, Thompson's on there as a first-time selection. Okay, so I was just seeing what he was on there for. Cousins is on there. I thought that was a replacement, but no, DeMarcus Cousins.
Oh, yeah.
I was just looking at the hash on the roster listing, wondering what that was all about. But no, first-time selection. Okay, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 first-time All-Stars this year. Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry, Jeff Teague, Klay Thompson, and DeMarcus Cousins. And I think it's got to be the West. You know, I think it'll be, depending on how hot they get from the three-point range, it could still be competitive. But the West is the more powerful conference at the moment. And yeah, I have to go with the West, which is a shame because I'll have to go for the East because the Bulls are in the East, of course.
I'm an East guy as well. So, I think the West would get it. But I'd like to see, like I mentioned last week, that I think it was 2001 or 2002 All-Star game. Where the East made that huge comeback, you know, you could see how much it meant to, like, led by Iverson and Marbury and stuff. You know, that was just a fantastic one. So I'm hoping it's competitive like that.
Absolutely, yeah. A little bit of defense. But of course, the Hawks. Mike Budenholzer is the coach. Steve Kerr is coaching the West, and there are three Hawks on the East this year. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm guessing they'll get a bit of a run at the same time. All three of them, and just like we saw the four Pistons in 2006, that was interesting. And I think didn't they put a Celtic on? Didn't they put Paul Pierce on the floor with him? So at the Celtics and the Pistons, like, yeah, because they get like, so well.
Yeah, Crawford touched on Prince to be on that or something. Yeah, same.
There was, but I'm glad they didn't go the five. That would have been overkill. I also remember they did the West did that huge like they had four centers on the court at one time, like they had Shaq and Yao on at the same time and. And Dirk Nowitzki was, they interviewed him, he was a bit disappointed, so I kind of wanted to be the point guard on that squad. So that would have been quite entertaining to see. But so those are our predictions. Let us know yours. Join in the discussion in the forum, of course, in the comments. You know, as we said, we want to get the discussion really going here at the NLSC, so give us your thoughts. Don't be shy. Want to end just by revisiting something we were talking about at the start of the NBA discussion, Ben. We mentioned the possible finals between the Hawks and the Warriors. If it did come to fruition, that is the Hawks versus the Warriors, who do you think would win? Who would you want to win? You want the Warriors to win because of Bogut?
I've never really been too much of a fan of the Hawks, so...
I kind of want the Warriors to because of Bogut. You know, you got the Aussie there. And it usually goes against my principles as someone who is an East fan. And I usually, if all else fails, if the Bulls can't win, and I want the team from the East to win usually, although I've also gone for the Spurs. Because I, Patty Mills, of course, and I do appreciate the Spurs for their style of play, but I think the Warriors would, I'd want the Warriors to win, but see what the Hawks did to them. You know, it's legit, and we could actually see that finals. If we do see that, we will actually see. This is the little trivia note that we're going to end on this week. If we do see that, it'll be an Aussie winning an NBA championship. For the second year in a row, of course, Patty Mills had that great performance in Game 5 against the Heat last year. And I know he was beating your Heat, Ben, but you had to love what Patty Mills, you know.
Yeah, that was a breakout performance. That was... And, you know, anything that helps get the Aussie players more exposed and, you know, try and bring it back onto free-to-air TV is all I'm all for. So I have no problems with little players or situations like that. So, yeah, even though my team lost, it was still... Yeah.
You can appreciate Patty Mills. I actually even bought a Patty Mills jersey afterwards. Well, actually, no, I waited to find him if he was going to re-sign. He did, so I got a Patty Mills jersey. So that would be two straight years that an Aussie, you know, we're obviously Australian, if people hadn't figured that out by now, if that would be the second year that an Aussie has been on the NBA champion squad.
Don't forget about
Aaron
Baines as well.
How many... Indeed. Yeah, indeed. True. But at least one Aussie on the championship squad. If that happens, that's two in a row, obviously. How many straight years has an Aussie been? This is a question I'm throwing to you, Ben. How many straight years has an Aussie been on a championship consecutively?
Three comes to mind with Luke Longley. Mm-hmm. Although, no, it wouldn't have been the Spurs with Andrew Gaze. That wouldn't have been straight years, would it? I think three is the answer that comes to mind.
Oh, okay. You actually had it with Gaze and four because I might have confused you. I didn't mean one single team. I meant just an Aussie on the championship team, and it was the three of Longley, 96, 97, 98, followed by Gaze in 99 with the Spurs. So four straight years when the 90s, we actually had Aussies on the championship squad. Of course, Gaze didn't play in the playoffs. He was injured.
Of course, my error was in...
But he did get a ring. So
getting the Houston... Like, I just mixed up. I was trying to... Yeah, damn it. I was on the right track. It's just...
But yeah, it's four. Four straight years. I was wondering, is he going to get it? You're going to get it. But yes, three straight with Longley, which I quite enjoyed being a Bulls fan, and then the one with Andrew Gaze, which I enjoyed because it's an Andrew. So, that's just a bit of trivia I wanted to end on this week. But that does bring us to the end of episode 109. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, why not subscribe to us on iTunes? You can just click the link down there in the bottom of the news post, or of course keep streaming it on the NLSC. As long as you're tuning in and enjoying the show, we don't mind either way. You can also connect with us on social media. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thenlsc, and on Twitter, twitter.com/thenlsc, or at the NLSC, as the cool kids say. And the NLSC itself is nba-live.com, doing all kinds of fun stuff with basketball, video games, talking about real basketball as well, of course. All that stuff that we enjoy. Get involved and have some fun. But that will do it for episode 109. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Arcane, and unlike our Prime Minister Tony Abbott, we'll be here next week.
Oh, political. enjoy the All-Star weekend, everyone, and see you next week.
Have a good one, folks.